St. John's Lutheran Church of Northfield is celebrating its 150th anniversary in 2019. As part of this sesquicentennial, the church is conducting oral history interviews that will help to preserve the history of the church and the experience of our longtime members. Today is June 30th, 2019. I am Eric Sponheim from the Evangelism and Communications Committee. Today, I'm joined by longtime St. John's member, Carol Benson. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
Tell me.
I don't know if I feel like a long-term member. I thought they had to be here 60 years.
I have had this conversation with Ann Sovic, and who came in the early 2000s, and she gave me a very polite brush off for that using that very reasoning. I told her I would give her a pass for now, but that I would circle back later.
And tell
so yes, that is there is a range of experience there, and tell me. We just talked a little bit before I turned the recording device on about how Bruce's first year as St. Olaf College pastor was the year I graduated, so I got to meet him then when I did a student chapel talk. But he, for the record, we'll just say that Bruce did a little sidestep on us and Carol is graciously doing this interview with us while Bruce is drinking coffee right now. So that's that. Just so anybody knows, where's Bruce? He's drinking coffee and visiting with people. So tell me about what brought you to St. John's. I mean, we just noted you.
We moved to town because Bruce was going to be at St. Olaf, but it is not a congregation for children and families, so I needed a place to be and checked a few places out. Actually, probably just came here first and decided it was a good place to be. We'd been at larger congregations, and I enjoyed having a larger staff and the opportunities of choirs for the kids and circles and activities that we could participate in as a family. So the kids and I would be here while Bruce was at St. Olaf.
Well, before we list out the kids, let's take a step back and tell us a little bit about how and where you and Bruce met and a little bit about your journey before you didn't think I'd ask that. I know we're departing. We're departing from the official script right there, but
we met working at a Bible camp at Luthercrest, and it was a summer romance that lasted.
Near Alexandria.
So we did not go to the same college. Bruce went to Augsburg. I went to Concordia. We were married in '68, and Bruce went to the seminary. And then our first call was in Albert Lea. And then our next call was in Billings, Montana. Then Bruce did an STM program at Yale. And then we went to Sioux Falls. And then we came here.
Wow. So quite a bit of parish ministry experience before coming here.
Yeah.
All right. So the kids, tell us about them.
Three, Johan, Kaya, and Maren. So they grew up in the congregation, participated in the youth activities, sang in the choirs, and this was our church family.
Wonderful. Say a little bit more about that. The question, what role did St. John's have in your family life? I mean, was it you did four high holy days with St. Olaf not in session. You did then all kind of, you were all here then.
Christmas Eve, summer.
Right. What was that like to you? I mean, was that like three? What ages were they when you arrived here then?
Five and eight.
So you had fairly little. I mean, when they're really young, you literally have your hands full. Was that a lot to manage on Sunday mornings then, until they got a little bit older?
Especially since for a couple of years I directed a choir over at the Methodist Church.
Oh.
So sometimes they'd go to Sunday school here, and then I'd come back. But then in '86, I took over from Joan Halverson the children's choir, and so then my involvement was a little stronger at that point. Actually, I had filled in for Cora when spring also when she was out of the country. So I...
Wow, so you're 30 years plus for on directing choir, children's choirs.
I'm in the middle of my 30th year because I retired once.
Oh!
And then I came back.
All right, you can compare notes about John Quam about flunking retirement sometime. Okay. It's not, of course, there's a strong connection between St. John's and St. Olaf, but it's there are other Lutheran churches in town. The question about when did you first join? We covered that. And what attracted you to St. John's? Because, you know, could you say a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I suppose we met some people from St. John's and we went here and it felt like a good fit for us.
Okay. Who are some of the St. John's members who have influenced you over the years?
Well, because I've also been on the staff, there have been a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And as I was reflecting on that, I thought about all the wonderful volunteers that we have at St. John's, people who give of their time and energy. Like over the years, Fran Evenson played piano with my choir year after year. Then when she no longer could do it, Joe Dahleen did it. Then Marilyn Jacobson did it. And now Marcia Yernberg. So it's people who are willing to give of their time and their talents to make St. John's the place that it is. And in addition to them, there were young students who would play as well as professionals. Eleanor Nemestow would play on Christmas Eve. The hot Hobie girls would play their instruments. Sarah Reinhart would play. David Miller would accompany the musicals. Sonia Wermager, Jenny Peltier plays flute for me so often. Donna Paulson is always willing to share her talents. So it's people like that who've, you know, been an important part of St. John's. But then I must also say it's the kids. I've loved the kids that we've had here. Talented, interesting, willing to participate. And so for me, that's been a highlight. And some of those kids have gone on to do some lovely things in music, and some of them gone on to do some other wonderful things. But they were always my inspiration.
Wow, two great shout-outs there, one to volunteers and one to the kids themselves.
Yeah, and we still have those wonderful kids. It's just fun seeing them grow up and participate and give of their talents.
The next question is pretty closely related to what we've been talking about with your big contribution with directing children's choirs. It's, what are you most proud of in terms of your service or leadership roles in the church? Leading that choir is such a role.
Yeah.
I guess I'm inviting you to say a little bit more about that.
The choir I took over in 86 was third, fourth, fifth graders. And after a year, I thought it would really be nice to have a group for the younger kids too. So 2 years later, I started the kindergarten, first and second grade choir, which is still called the Alleluia Choir. So I guess that was one of my contributions to see the need for a younger group and help that get started. And I did that for a number of years, and then because I was also teaching, I turned it over to somebody else for a while, and then when I was called back after retiring, I went back to them.
how often do the kids, I know perform isn't the right word. How often do they sing in worship?
You know, that has changed over the years. In the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, we always did twice a month, second and fourth Sundays and holidays, Christmas, Easter. But then the program, when I came back after retirement, it has changed a little bit, and so more things take place in a shorter time on Wednesdays. So the choir sessions are not quite as long, and so now it tends to be maybe more once a month or sometimes twice a month.
And is there a Christmas program? Is that historically part of it?
The program is a Sunday school activity, mm-hmm. but the choirs have participated with that. But for many years, the youth choirs or children's choirs did two services on Christmas Eve. So that was a big commitment on their part.
Oh, yeah.
So they sang at the 3:30 service and the 5 o'clock mm-hmm. service. And
I asked that partly because when my two boys were very young, we were at Westwood Lutheran in St. Louis Park, and there was a long-standing tradition of a standalone, separate, Christmas event, and where the kids' choirs were really, really huge. And
a wonderful program that Ronnie Nelson had, right?
Oh, you're familiar with Westwood?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, one of the things that happened for many years was Youth Sunday. And it was usually in the spring, and so all the choirs would participate in the Youth Sunday for the two services, and then the youth would probably do the sermon and do the readings and everything. But that's been altered too.
Well, okay. Well, your nice segue into our questions a little bit later here about change over time, which we have some. What have you liked about worship and music at St. John's? You've got 30 plus years of highlights to cherry pick from there, Carol. What comes to mind when you hear that question?
A staff that would work together to make the Sunday morning service thoughtful and centered around the gospel or the lessons for that day with appropriate music. Carolyn Jennings was on the staff for many years, and Ruth Ferguson, Cora Schultz, Ruth Legbold, Joseph Grippen, Kathy Rodlin, Nathan Proctor, they all worked in the same way to make the services speak to the congregation.
Oh, you're could I take a screenshot of your notes when we're done here?
No.
It's all for totally proper archival tagging,
okay.
I assure you.
But anyway. Okay.
No, I like how inclusive you are. Clearly you just you're not doing this alone, and who your
colleagues
are. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. We worked together and talked about what would happen as a part of the worship service.
Let's take an example. Carolyn Jennings. I've met her a few times in worship and introduced myself. And I wasn't in the St. Olaf Choir, but I know people who were. And so, and I asked her when sometimes her pieces that she's arranged are used in worship, and so she's properly credited in the bulletin. And I asked her when they do that, did they give you a little heads up that you'll be in the bulletin? She said no. What was it like working with her over the years?
Well, Carolyn for many years was the music staff director here, and so we would have monthly meetings and talk about what was coming up. Any other issues that needed to be dealt with were something that monthly we talked about. And she was always very supportive of the children's choir program. And I appreciated that.
So you met monthly for over many years.
Yes. Yeah.
Next one is really specific.
Favorite. Well, speaking of Carolyn, there's one wonderful piece that she wrote. Now, maybe I'm forgetting the title, God Made the Song, but it talks about the whole church and how the song of the church goes on. And I loved using that with my choir because I felt like it really helped them see what the mission was of the church and of the music that we create.
What was the title?
Well, I think it's God Made the Sun, but
God Made the Sun.
That might just be the first line.
Uh-huh.
But it says, we are the church, together we sing. Maybe I'll use it next fall.
Oh, please, please do. Did it captured a lot of the spirit of what you're going for? Is that
that's what I felt, yes. Mm. Yeah. So she's a wonderful writer.
Mm. Well, you've deftly anticipated my next question, which it's good to be sabbatical that way. I was already starting to ask that, and then you anticipated it, do you have favorite hymns or songs? Of course you do. You're a choir director. What makes your like top of the top for some of those?
Well, with the choirs, especially the third, fourth, fifth grade age group, I always try to incorporate some hymns because I feel like that was an important part of their Christian education, to have some hymns in their heads and some where they would feel like, oh, I know this song. And I remember one boy in particular who loved Earth and All Stars and wished we could sing it every week. We didn't do it every week, but he loved it. But things like Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, many kids have played that tune if they took piano lessons or trumpet lessons. So that'd be another one that I felt was important for them, but also the hymns that would go with, for example, the Reformation, Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress. We'd try and do some Christmas hymns that you want them to know, the Easter hymns. And so the next year, sure, they already know it because you've worked on it. And when they're in church, they can feel comfortable joining in and singing.
What have you noticed, moving toward a bit towards the change over time, types of styles, has that been pretty continuous, is there like more praise music now and not so much hymn driven, or like what?
Well, you might note that this church is fairly traditional.
Yes. Indeed.
And there was a time, I think, maybe 15 years ago, where we did Marty Haugen service maybe for 6 weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. And people really enjoyed that. And then maybe we'd go on to a different setting. But that was used for a number of years as part of the year-long pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you've been at Lenten services, you know that people love the Holden Vespers.
Yes,
and one year when it wasn't used, everyone wondered, why not? So I think that's been used again. It's so singable. It speaks to you. And I think enhances people's worship. So I'm glad that that's been a part of it.
Once it used to be called Vespers 86, I think, before it was called Holden Evening Prayer.
Yeah.
86. And that was the year you started directing here.
Right.
Could we circle back, and you mentioned to your own kids for a minute, you mentioned ages 3, 5, and 8 when the family first came here. They were in the confirmation program,
right.
I suppose. What can you do a little? Where are they now? Like how they where they went from here?
Two of them attended St. Olaf, and one went to PLU, and two of them live in the Twin Cities with their families, and one lives in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Favorite hymns.
Okay.
We covered the tip of the iceberg there. Some of the high points of your experience as a church member. I guess we'll go with, it's not church member broadly there, not only your very specific experience with directing.
So, I will mention some things that I think over the years have been delightful, and that has been the Youth Sundays. But we also have, over the years, had youth recitals, and I was always amazed at the talent that we had. Young people playing piano, string quartets, solos, vocal solos. They were lovely recitals. The Advent Fair was always fun and still is wonderful. And people like Jill Innisfit and Catherine Norrie and Julie, who put all of that together and always have new things for the kids to do. I think that's a wonderful tradition.
Julie Thorsheim?
No, Julie Bremer.
Oh, Julie Bremer. Okay.
Yeah, who's kind of in charge of putting that all together. But I mean, I just noticed some of the people who are always there participating and coming up with art ideas that I think, where do they find those? I think kids have enjoyed that. Bruce and I did candle dipping back in the 80s, where you'd go around in a circle and each time add another layer to your candle. I think the Advent Fair maybe started back in the 60s or 70s at this congregation, so it has a long history. the Wednesday dinners have been a wonderful addition. They did not exist when we came to town, and I think for a few years they tried just pizza, which kids liked, but adults maybe weren't so into having pizza every week. And the people who volunteered there, the Dell family, Christy Harms, the Erickson family, all of those people who give selflessly of their time to prepare those meals, it's a lovely thing for the neighborhood and the congregation. And I guess another part of my life here at St. John's has been the women's circles. I've been a part of a circle for many years. The time together to reflect on a Bible lesson or to share things from our life has been an important part. And some of those saints have gone on, like Radna Evensen and Shar Rasmussen. But we have a lively group and enjoy each other's company and sometimes even have a potluck with spouses just because it's sort of fun to get together. That is another thing I have treasured at St. John's.
There's a lot that goes on beyond Sunday morning, isn't there? With some new additions like the Wednesday. Yeah.
And there are people I see that, you know, it's not a church thing that they're doing, but I see people like Cora Schultz getting together with older friends who need somebody's love and support. And so it's people like that who make up St. John's.
Quick. For that 2015 picture directory, Cora signed me in to take when my picture was taken. She was the kind of the registrar for that. So I met her then, she's clearly a strong presence here. And you've overlapped a lot, being in music and
and friends.
My colleague Mark did the interview with Cora and Bob, I don't know all of what Cora shared in this setting, you can compare notes about your different. about how tough those interviewers were with you when you see Cora. Change over time. We just heard a sermon from Pastor Pam about the boundary lines falling in pleasant places and how we're all migrants in a sense because there's change over time and we find ourselves in different places than we were. I'll use that as my lead-in, Carol, to a question to you about 30 or more years here. How has the church changed over the time of your membership? Very open-ended question, obviously.
Yeah. The simple thing. Families are maybe smaller. Mm-hmm. There might not be as many younger families as in the 80s, but there still are wonderful families. I think it is. Northfield has also attracted retirees because of the colleges, and so we have a number of people who've come to town, and it's been wonderful meeting some of those people. I've gained a number of new friends because they retired here. And so that has been an enjoyable part of St. John's. Other changes as society changes, the church has responded to some of those changes as far as the rights of gay and lesbians mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. transgender, all that has been more of the conversation. And I think, you know, rightly so, that the church addresses that God loves everyone.
A big that theme is the everyone part is more. The permutations of that are really playing out now, aren't they?
Yes.
And that, yeah, it's a challenge for us as the church.
Right. Not everybody views every topic the same way, and you have to be sensitive to the people who are there. But
just one follow-up about the thread about Northfield as a retirement community and how that bring. So probably it was what you've noticed is, historically, probably a lot of clergy retired here, but because of the but more broadly, it's a retirement community for others.
Right.
Too.
I think people find it attractive because there are a lot of things to do here in town: concerts, recitals, the CVIC classes that people can take, the proximity to the Twin Cities, and some people come here because they have kids who live maybe in the suburbs and they want to be close, but they also like the small town feeling in Northfield.
We're getting close to final reflections. I thought we used to have a question here about your hopes for the future of the church. You're certainly welcome to comment on that if you like, Carol, or offer, but the very final one is final reflections that you have. And I know you took some notes, so if there's any, I'll give you a chance to scan your notes for anything you might not have included.
Well, one of the other things that I have appreciated about St. John's is the artwork that's a part of the congregation. Judy Swanson in particular has had wonderful things in the sanctuary and helps take care of the artwork throughout the building. And we have, you know, artists in the congregation that I appreciate what they've done for bulletins and for any need as far as artistry. Paraments. I can't remember exactly who did some of the paraments, but we have hardener ones that are used occasionally, and that's a labor of love.
But I'm glad you mentioned that. That's a great. It's just so unique to have such a high percentage of creative people that way. It's a real
gift. We are blessed.
We are.
Yeah, and sometimes it's easy to take it for granted and feel like, you know, this is normal. And yet, when I stop and think about it, I realize we have some extraordinary people who share their gifts.
The can't help but think again of that Psalm 16 that we just heard the sermon about. Yes, the boundary lines have fallen pleasantly, very to a great degree, with people like that in this place.
Yes.
And thanks for sharing your thoughts this morning, Carol.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I hope Bruce enjoyed his conversations out there in the fellowship hall.